So once again, and for the foreseeable future, we are met virtually for worship. Governor Inslee has asked all Washingtonians to recognize the pandemic we are in the midst of, close places of assembly, and hunker down through April 24. Respecting the governor's leadership, we will gladly comply. I, for one, am very happy to see someone accept responsibility, act decisively, and with guidance by the scientific method. That's what leaders do. That's what my staff leadership partners, Jason Perkal and Aisha Hauser, have been trying to do with me and the rest of the staff. On March 4th, as the spread of the coronavirus in our area became clear, we began to seriously organize our collective response. We sought guidance from the Departments of Health, the Center for Disease Control, and UUA authorities. Within 10 days, we were on the current regimen. We'll continue the regimen for at least 5 more weeks. Perhaps longer. And we don't know what things will look like when we get there. And it's kind of scary, admittedly. But the staff and the board are committed to making it through whatever lies ahead. As it says in one of our hymns, Woe Ya Ya, heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. One thing that won't help us get there is ignorance of the actual situation in which we presently find ourselves. Our chief executive in Washington, D.C., referred to Governor Inslee as a snake on television because Inslee asked Vice President Pence to soften his political jargon when he was out here visiting 10 days ago, and please, Vice President, stick to the science. But I now have to ask the president, how is this rejection of science working out for you guys now and for America? Whenever we're confronted with a truly difficult, tough situation, looking squarely at the facts is the first step towards any healthy, timely resolution. What America needs immediately are medical masks and gowns and ventilators. If, like the scientifically minded, proactive leaders of Singapore, the administration had not dilly-dallied, we'd be in much better shape. But alas, elections indeed have consequences. What America, what the whole world also needs is a vaccine. That is a biological preparation to improve immunity to COVID-19. Vaccines typically contain an agent that resembles a disease-causing microorganism and is often made from weakened or killed forms of that microbe, its toxins, or one of its surface proteins. Vaccines stimulate the body's immune system to recognize the agent as foreign, destroy it, and remember it, so that the immune system can more easily recognize and destroy any of the same microorganisms it encounters down the line. Immunization programs work two ways, on an individual basis to protect people at risk and on a population-wide basis to provide herd immunity, protecting those who, for health reasons, cannot be vaccinated. In both ancient Greece and in China, it was known for millennia that people who recovered from smallpox never suffered a relapse, as was true of George Washington, who contracted the disease as a teenager while visiting Barbados in November of 1751, his only trip away from the American mainland. His half-brother Lawrence died, and it was a very sad occasion for him. But George Washington recovered after nearly a month of illness, which was lucky for the United States, since simultaneously with the Revolutionary War, some years later, there was a terrible smallpox epidemic that felled thousands. Now, the Unitarians, John and Abigail Adams, knew George Washington well. They were modern and scientifically minded people. They knew all about diseases and illness, practiced cleanliness, and made their own home medicines. John, in a very radical, innovative move, had been inoculated in 1764. He survived the procedure, and he came through it with protective immunity. Later, when the smallpox epidemic came to Massachusetts in 1775, and knowing it would likely infect and claim her and her four children's lives, Abigail Adams allowed her doctor to inject the virus into each of their arms. Abigail was a brave, bold, very intelligent person, and way ahead of her time with regard to immunology and many other issues. How fortunate for our country that we had such people as the Adamses and George Washington as our leaders, setting forward-looking precedents for the rest of us to recognize and to follow as the way out of ignorance. Eschewing ignorance, that is always the first step out of the mess and out of this mess. The second, immunization for love. And this is within our grasp. By injecting patients with what amounts to a weak smidgen of the disease, vaccines stimulate patients' own antibodies and thereby strengthen their immune systems. In this light, maybe social distancing is the cure for the Seattle freeze. By forcing Seattleites to keep one another at arm's length, people suddenly realize how unnaturally diffident and super cool the social scene around here has been, and thereby activate everyone's reach out and be more welcoming antibodies, such that once the crisis subsides, our social skills are all more warmly refined. Let us imagine it thus and try our best to make it so. Because here's the thing. We already have the healing balm within us, a spark of divinity, the Atman that is Brahman, the kingdom of heaven within us. For a long time, though, too many of us have not been able to hear our inner still small voices for all the noise and hubbub slowly and incrementally crescendoing across and through all our lives and all the lives of everyone we know. Last week, I asked everyone attending service electronically, where is the gift to be found in the situation we are in? I am beginning to have what I guess I'll call inklings. We have been told to stop. And it's no longer a suggestion or a request, it is a mandate. Stop. Could the terrifying COVID-19 microbe be the voice of Gaia, our dear Mother Earth, making us stop? Telling us stop this over-the-top high-speed merry-go-round now. The airports, the malls, the schools, all the routine activities, meetings, and social obligations, the frenetic, never-ending pursuit of the future that keeps us from hearing our single and shared beating heart and the way we breathe together in unison as one. Going forward, our obligation is and must be to one another. We have forgotten this culturally, and as a result, the Earth has a potentially fatal health crisis. Could a tiny microbe be trying to clue us in, interrupting the world's endless cacophonous broadcasts of divisions and distractions to bring us the long breaking news that we are not well? We have been so preoccupied girding up the comforts and conveniences that scaffold our lives that we have not noticed that the firestorms, typhoons, and rising tides have grown worse and worse. The whole global economic superstructure is buckling under the weight of our overstimulated desire and greed. Could it be that coronavirus is here as a way to help us pay more attention by providing a balancing force to humanity's overactive, overpopulated, overweaponized way of life. Reality has intervened, asking us, demanding of us that we stop, become still, and listen. To look within our heart of hearts, to get beyond our individual concerns, and consider the concerns of everyone. I've been on the telephone over the last week with many of you and many others who are fearful. And I encourage any member or friend of the church or visitor who's plugging in, if you wish to, please call me if you're struggling. But of all things, do not let your fear freak you out by demonizing it or letting it rule you. Hold up your fear, whatever you're afraid of, hold it before yourself and ask and listen to what it's telling you. It's wisdom regarding what is at stake, at issue, at risk, beyond the threats of personal inconvenience and illness. In Wuhan, China, they say people can see the sky. And birdsong has returned every morning for the first time in decades. And so it has come down to this. COVID-19 is a bellwether. Our earth is desperately imperiled, and we are, as we are now, suddenly beginning to feel in our own physical bodies. The quality of our physical health is a reflection. It reflects back to us critical information about the health of our own forests, ocean, and skies, and all who share these resources with us. Stop, be still. Let us use this time to listen and listen carefully, especially within. Ask what we need to learn so that, fully immunized, we may all be well. And so may it be. Amen, shalom, salam, namaste. My blessings to everyone.